this week on Vaticano. As we celebrate the 12th anniversary of Pope Francis's election to the papacy, we reflect on the saints he has recognized from all walks of life, from martyrs and missionaries to families and members of religious communities. We speak with Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, Prefect of the Congregation for the Causes of Saints, about the canonization process, and explore the Fabrica di San Pietro, along with its affiliated art school. Vaticano starts now. Every year, abortion statistics reveal that the lives of many children are already threatened in the womb. Yet the unborn always have had a powerful ally in the Catholic Church. On March the 8th, the Vatican celebrated the 50th anniversary of the Movimento per la Vita, the Movement for Life in Rome. During the Holy Mass in St. Peter's Basilica, the Vatican's Secretary of State, Cardinal Pietro Parolin, read a message from the Holy Father, who was unable to attend the Mass himself due to his hospitalization.
The unborn child represents, par excellence, every man and woman who does not count, who has no voice. To place oneself on his or her side means standing in solidarity with all the world's discarded, and the gaze of the heart that recognizes him or her as one of us is the lever that moves this project.
In his message, the pontiff thanked the pro-life pilgrims on their organization's 50th anniversary, praising their concrete support for mothers experiencing difficult pregnancies.
Continue to be committed to women, on their capacity for acceptance, generosity, and courage. Women must be able to count on the support of the entire civil and ecclesial community, and the Centers for Help for Life can become a point of reference for all. Thank you for the pages of hope and tenderness you helped to write in the history book, and which remain indelible. They bear, and will bear, much fruit. I am pleased to greet all the volunteers who are here in Rome today for their Jubilee pilgrimage.
Vi ringrazio molto, carissimi, perché sull'esempio di Gesù.
I thank you heartily, dear friends, because following the example of Jesus, you serve your neighbors instinctively, on the streets and in the homes, in the company of the sick, the suffering, and the imprisoned, with the young men and the elderly. Your generosity and commitment offer hope to our entire society. In the deserts of poverty and loneliness, all those small gestures are helping to make a new humanity blossom in the garden that is God's dream, always and everywhere, for all of us.
As the Holy Father continues medical treatment at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, Cardinal Michael Cerny read Pope Francis's message dedicated to the approximately 25,000 men and women participating in the March the 8th and 9th Jubilee of the World of Volunteering. The Holy Father thanked volunteers associated with nonprofit and non-governmental organizations for following Jesus by serving others. Francis underlined that during his current stay in hospital, he's also experiencing the, quote, thoughtfulness of service and the tenderness of care. In his homily, the Pope also reminded the faithful of the Lenten season and encouraged them to use it for a real new beginning.
As we prepare to celebrate this, the central mystery of our faith, we realize that the result of our own trials is different. In the face of temptation, we sometimes fall. We are all sinners. Our defeat, however, is not definitive.
Siamo tutti peccatori. La sconfitta però non è.
Because following our every fall, God lifts us up by His infinite love and forgiveness.
Infinitamente grande nell'amore.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vaticano Updates, the most important news from the Holy Father and the Vatican. Pope Francis invites faithful to pray for God's gift of peace. He named Ukraine, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Myanmar, Sudan, Israel, and Palestine as countries that particularly need this gift. While undergoing medical treatment at Gemelli Hospital, the Holy Father continues to make regular calls to the Holy Family Church in Gaza. 600 people are still seeking shelter in this parish. The Vatican has expressed its solidarity with Muslims participating in the Ramadan fast. In its message, the Vatican's Office for Interreligious Dialogue noted that Catholics also fast and do penance during the season of Lent. This could be a start for greater dialogue and friendship between people of the two religions. In 2025, Ramadan runs from February the 28th to March the 29th. Defeats are not definitive for those who believe in Jesus Christ and trust in God's love and forgiveness. In his pre-prepared homily for the first Sunday of Lent, the Holy Father said, "Difficulties and trials do not end in failure for Christians who embrace their relationship with God. Defeat is not definitive," underlined the Holy Father. A NASA geophysicist, a Harvard genetics professor, and a Chinese embryonic development researcher are amongst five new members of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences. The new appointees include Maria Zuber, an American planetary scientist involved in multiple NASA missions, and Meng Anming, a Chinese development biologist specializing in embryonic research. The Pontifical Academy of Sciences brings together leading international experts to promote scientific progress and interdisciplinary research. The Latin Patriarch of Jerusalem, Cardinal Pia Battista Pizzaballa, said that forgiveness is stronger than violent words. In his Lenten message, Pizzaballa recalled that the overbearing rhetoric of conflict and recrimination can never prevent God from giving us reconciliation in Jesus Christ. The cardinal invited families to pray together and to go to confession in an authentic, devout, and frequent way. Thank you again for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. In Rome, Andreas Tonhauser for EWTN Vaticano.
In just a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano. March the 13th, 2025, marks the 12th anniversary of Pope Francis's election to the papacy. Over these years, he has called the faithful to embrace holiness in everyday life, showing that sainthood is possible. He recognized saints from all walks of life, martyrs, missionaries, families, and religious, who lived with faith, service, and sacrifice.
Non dimentichiamoci, ognuno di noi.
Let us not forget, each one of us is called to holiness, to everyday holiness, to the holiness of the common Christian life. Each one of us has this calling.
On May the 12th, 2013, Pope Francis celebrated the first canonizations of his papacy. He declared two Latin American religious sisters, Laura Montoya and Maria Guadalupe Garcia Zavala, as saints, along with Antonio Primaldo and his 800 companions, martyred in the 1480 Ottoman invasion of Otranto, Italy. With this first ceremony alone, he set the course to become the pope who would canonize more saints than any other in history. In 2014, Pope Francis canonized two of his predecessors. Both left their own mark on the church. One was John XXIII, who during his 4.5-year pontificate convened the Second Vatican Council. Francis also canonized John Paul II, who led the church into the new millennium. In 2018, Francis canonized another of his predecessors, Pope Paul VI. One woman whose deeds speak for themselves is Mother Teresa. The nun dedicated her life to the poorest of the poor in the slums of Calcutta. The Order of the Missionaries of Charity, founded by her, continues Mother Teresa's work. Pope Francis canonized her on September 4th, 2016. 1 year later, the Holy Father canonized Cardinal John Henry Newman. Newman was a member of the Anglican Church of England. He converted to the Catholic faith despite much hostility and became one of the greatest apologists for Catholicism in history. However, Pope Francis has not only recognized converts, but also Christian martyrs from other churches as Catholic saints. In 2024, he added the 21 Coptic martyrs to the Roman Martyrology, the Church's official list of saints, reaffirming the Church's recognition of those who have given their lives for the faith. These martyrs, 20 Egyptians and one Ghanaian, were brutally executed by ISIS in Libya in 2015.
For Pope Francis, the most important thing was the direct encounter with the other Christian churches. Going together, praying together, working together. That is one dimension. And the other dimension is the ecumenism of blood, which he strongly underlined. Pope Francis asked the question, if our enemies unite us in death, because the persecutors of Christians do not persecute Christians because they are Lutherans, Catholics, or Orthodox, but because they are Christians, if our enemies unite us in death, how can we continue to divide ourselves?
Wie können wir uns dann weiterhin trennen?
On February the 11th, 2024, a momentous occasion took place as Pope Francis canonized the first Argentinian woman, Maria Antonia de Paz y Figueroa. She's also affectionately known as Mama Antula. To the great joy of Catholics worldwide, Pope Francis has paved the way for the canonization of two young Italian men. Both soon-to-be saints are beloved by many Catholic young people for their enthusiastic pursuit of holiness. Carlo Acutis, an Italian computer coding teenager who died of cancer in 2006, is known for his great devotion to the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. Pier Giorgio Frassati, who died at the age of 24 in 1925, is also beloved by many today for his enthusiastic witness to holiness that reaches to the heights. Pier Giorgio Frassati died of polio, aged 24. His doctors later speculated that he had caught polio while serving the sick. The canonization of Carlo Acutis is planned for the program of the Church's Jubilee of Teenagers that will take place from April the 25th to the 27th, 2025. And Pier Giorgio Frassati's canonization will take place during the Jubilee of Youth from July the 28th to August the 3rd, 2025. This Jubilee year, the Church will welcome some very well-known Catholics into the ranks of the saints. The most prominent is Carlo Acutis, who will be canonized on April the 27th during the Jubilee for teenagers. While still in the hospital this February, Pope Francis approved two more canonizations. These could also take place this year. Andrea Stonehauser, EWTN Vatican Bureau Chief, met with the head of the Vatican Department for Saints, Cardinal Marcello Semeraro, to learn more about the process leading to sainthood.
This is the place where saints are created. Can you tell us a little bit more about your dicastery?
Mi permetterei di correggere anzitutto.
Allow me to correct this a little, because this is the place where we conclude a journey. It begins on a local level. At the beginning, we give a nulla osta, a go-ahead, if there are no obstacles.
During the visit, Cardinal Semeraro presented the offices of his dicastery. He showed us the big archive, where all the documentation for all the so-called causes for sainthood is being stored. Some of them are very old, such as the files of the life of Saint Charles Borromeo. But also, the approvals of the popes are stored in this archive. Here we can see a signed document by Pope Saint John the 23rd.
This is the one the Pope has approved just a few days ago.
Cardinal Semeraro holds the documentation of the life of Bartolo Longo. His story is close to the prefect.
He is from my diocese.
Born in the Italian province of Brindisi in 1841, Bartolo Longo was attracted by spiritualism and became a satanic priest. The Virgin Mary played a decisive role in his conversion process. He later founded the famous Rosary Shrine in Pompeii. St. John Paul II called him, therefore, the Man of the Virgin. He was one of the most ardent promoters of the Rosary in his time, but he also cared for the poor. Adjacent to the shrine in Pompeii, he founded a large orphanage for hundreds of children.
Even while he was sick and in the hospital, it was important to him to sign those documents.
Well, yes, we sent him the documents with all the minutes and everything. Bartolo Longo was among them. He was a man who founded a city of charity. These are aspects that I think today's society is very sensitive to. It is better to be a Christian without much talking than to talk a lot and not live a Christian life.
E non vivere da cristiani.
Pope Francis just approved his canonization. The other recently approved cause concerns a doctor from Venezuela, Jose Gregorio Hernandez Cisnero. Both causes came to a close in this special meeting room.
È solo per avere una idea, quante cause sono di...
How many causes are you discussing here every month?
We discuss at least 6 causes per month.
These discussions between cardinals, bishops, and sometimes medical and historical experts are vital for the canonization process. A life is being vetted from all angles, several times. For sainthood, usually 2 miracles are needed, one before and one after the beatification. These miracles are examined by medical experts to exclude human intervention in the healing process. A second factor is the connection between the prayer for intercession and the subsequent healing. Only when both factors are proven can a miracle be accepted. Cardinal Semeraro uses the example of Blessed Carlo Acutis's second approved miracle, experienced by a girl in Costa Rica in 2022. She had a terrible bicycle accident and almost died in the hospital from a brain hemorrhage.
The miracle happened because she had a very serious accident and she asked for the intercession of Carlo Acutis so that she would not die. And this is what happened. It was what we call a miracle that is decisive for us. The exclusion of human intervention is important.
Ultimately, it is the Pope who has to approve the recommendations of Cardinal Marcello Semeraro and his team. If there is one thing the prefect has learned from his work, it's that sainthood is not just for heroes.
Holiness is not something that is realized in heroes, like those in Greek and Roman mythology, Prometheus, Ulysses, those great ones. Holiness is within the reach of everyone. It is a call addressed to everyone. St. Augustine said, "If he did it, I can do it." Pope Francis has followed this practice.
Papa Francesco ha seguito questa prassi.
Maybe it's the example of the Jubilee saints, such as Carlo Acutis or Pier Giorgio Frassati, who will inspire all of us to live like saints, just like them. We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano. Fabrica di San Pietro, the department that oversees maintenance and repairs of the Vatican's papal basilica, for the third year is running a free 6-month training course. The school includes both theoretical classes and hands-on training. The director of the School of Arts and Crafts, Father Francesco Occhetta, said the course is a way for the experts who help maintain St. Peter's Basilica to share their skills and knowledge with the next generation.
It is important for the Basilica to have this school because it restores a tradition from the 1700s, making it central to the Basilica's life today, which is why this alliance of hands, head, and heart today has revived something that was dying in the culture over the last 30 years.
Cristina Squatriti is an Italian-American student following the stone and marble track of the course. Her experience at the School of Arts and Crafts has taught her fundamental techniques she hopes to use one day in her career.
All of us pretty much started, we had never touched a scalpello in our lives. So we started off with learning how to incise letters, and then we did a whole week of straight lines, which was really tough, like mentally, but that was how we got like our hand to feel comfortable with the tools best. And then now we're passing on to intarsio, which is the method where you put a block of marble inside another. It's like all over the floors of the Basilica. And so it's slow going because it's a tough material to work with, but I've learned so much in the past 3 months.
Francesco Bonello from Malta has a job in commercial marble cutting with his father, but thanks to the school, he's learning to work with new tools.
So originally I worked with my father since I was 13 years old. He's a marmista. We work industrially in marble, but I always wanted to learn more the fundamental techniques of a marmoraro, which the difference is he works only with chisels and hammers to make beautiful works by hand, which for me that is the passion of the work.
Another concentration the school offers is in mosaic work. Inside Vatican City, there's the workshop where students learn and practice this delicate, patient art. Next to the workshop, a long, narrow room holds hundreds of colors of mosaic tessere in rows and rows of drawers. One mosaic technique that students learn starts by fusing small glass pieces together into one mass, which is then shaped and pulled into a long thread of glass before being cut into the desired size and shape. Students practice the art by copying classical or modern images, meticulously placing tile after tile. The leadership of the school hopes the education it is providing in traditional arts and craftsmanship will be of benefit, not only to St. Peter's Basilica, but also to historic churches around the world. Father Okita, the school's director, said working with the hands is one of the keys to revitalizing the world of young people in the workplace.
So there is, first of all, a spiritual dimension on which the school is based. There is a community dimension where our students, accompanied by an educator and her collaborators, grow together. And then there is a dimension properly related to learning, which is 600 hours of lessons, 200 theoretical and 400 in the laboratory, where the students meet the greatest experts of the Basilica and learn concretely how to do the maintenance of the marble, of the wood, of the mosaic. And therefore, in the age of choice, these young people can have this opportunity and then go to the other basilicas around the world to be able to pass on the knowledge of the Fabbrica di San Pietro, which has lasted for 500 years.